This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نستهدي ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We begin by thanking and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, the Most Majestic, the Most Merciful. We thank and praise Allah for all of His bounties that He has blessed us with. We ask Allah for forgiveness for all of our mistakes and shortcomings and lapses in judgment. We ask Allah for guidance and we ask Allah to keep us firm upon guidance. And we ask Allah to shower our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with compliments and salutations along with his family and his companions and all of those who follow his sunnah, his tradition until the end of time. O Allah, make us of those who recite and listen to the Qur'an and act upon it. O Allah, make us of those who are in love with the Messenger and his tradition and adhere to it. As to what follows, we mentioned a few nights ago, or we recited actually in the salah a couple nights ago, in Salatul Taraweeh, we were reciting from Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter number 5. And in the very beginning of that surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a command to the Muslim ummah, to the community. And this is a principle in our religion. It's a principle and a foundational axiom in the sharia of our beautiful religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدُوَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling out to this community, encouraging each individual member of this community to assist one another. تَعَاوَنُوا, help each other, cooperate, collaborate, work with one another. عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, upon that which is pious, that which is righteous, that which is good, that which is beneficial, that which is healthy, that which helps us grow in our iman and in our life as upright Muslims. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and do not expend effort. Don't work with one another. Don't make deals and arrangements upon that which is falsehood, which is wrong, which is sinful, which is hurtful, which is abusive. So here we have a principle that Allah laid out for us in the Qur'an. Work together for that which is good. And that's general. It encompasses all types of goodness. When we look at what the scholars deduced after studying for years and decades and after centuries of scholastic work in this religion, the ulama looked at the entire sharia holistically as a whole. And after observing all of the different do's and don'ts and the rulings and the encouragements and the prohibitions, the ulama, the scholars concluded that there are a few, a handful of very high and lofty objectives that the rules of the sharia aim to bring to life. Amongst them, they mentioned the preservation of human life. Amongst them, the preservation of one's religion, their deen, their ability to be connected to their Creator in the manner that pleases Him. Amongst them, they mention the preservation and the importance of dignity and honor. And also amongst that which is mentioned, and that's related to our topic today, is the preservation of wealth. حِفْظُ الْمَالِ. And that doesn't only refer specifically to currency, but all that which falls under the umbrella of a believer's wealth. The rulings of the sharia are in place. The do's and don'ts are there for the benefit of our life, our deen, our dignity, our wealth, and our family ties and kinship. So the message and the topic today is very short, very brief, yet very direct and very pertinent to our situation. And the message is, get out of debt. And if you are not in debt, then don't fall into debt. It's a very simple message, which I assume most of us have heard many times before, but we are all in need of reminders. And just to share with you some numbers, although that's not the greater point behind today's message, but our society that we live in, 2018, the quarter of 2018 concluded, and the average the total consumer debt in this country of ours was approaching $14 trillion. That's more than the wealth of many countries on the face of this earth. And that is consumer debt. You and I are consumers. Consumer debt, we can't even fathom a number like that. And as the Muslim community here in this area, we are not immune to all of the different problems that take place in the greater society around us. So we should be cognizant and aware and not allow some of these societal vices to affect us, especially when we have certain codes of conduct in our deen that pertain to those vices. The Sharia and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is full of narrations that warn from the danger of falling into debt, that encourage people to hasten to get out of debt. And we'll mention just a couple or just a few of them today. But let us be aware of the greater culture that we are surrounded in, where things like credit cards are romanticized and are pushed upon the consumer so heavily, where the idea of taking a loan is absolutely normal, if not oftentimes encouraged in the society that we live in. All different types. Homes are purchased on loans. Cars are purchased on loans. Degrees, people go to school based on loans. Even the most trivial of things. The other day I went to a mom and pop owned tire shop to change my tire. It's a very rundown, not one of these fancy tire places. And a big sign right when I walked in says, zero down, paid, take a loan to get your tires changed. Used tires, Allahu Akbar. Even used car tires want to be sold to us based on loans. There is an entire industry in our society that profits on buying and selling other people's loans. There are entire financial institutions that want to purchase your debt from somebody else so they can stay on top of your head and allow the interest to pile up. So we understand that this is the societal, this is the situation around us. And we come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very aware of the situation of debt. And a person's financial situation is closely related to their spiritual state of affairs as well. The two affect one another. So we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to very regularly seek refuge in Allah from al-ma'thami wal-maghram. كثيراً ما كان يتعوذ عليه الصلاة والسلام من المأثم والمغرم. So much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would ask Allah to protect him and save him from being overburdened by sins and being burdened by debt. والغارمين, being overburdened by debt. Until one of the Sahaba came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day and said, "O Messenger of Allah, why do you keep making du'a to be protected from al-maghram? Why do you keep making dua to be saved from debt?" So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when an individual, إِذَا غَرِمَ, when an individual becomes in a situation of debt, they start falling into other problems. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذِبْ وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is a trend. When a person becomes burdened with debt, they start lying and being deceitful with their speech. They start breaking their promises and their oaths as a direct result of falling into debt. What's interesting is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned these characteristics in other narrations when he described al-munafiq, when he described the hypocrite. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the characteristics of the hypocrite is that when they speak, they lie. And when they promise, they break their oaths and their promises. And when they quarrel, they get nasty and they insult and curse. These are characteristics of a munafiq, of a hypocrite. May Allah protect us all from hypocrisy. Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The hypocrites are in the lowest levels of the hellfire. May Allah protect us from His punishment. So there's an overlap there. The Prophet ﷺ also mentioned these same characteristics for those that are overburdened with debt. They may begin to lie about their situation so they don't pay off the debt, or delay or postpone. And postponing debt is something that is forbidden in our deen so long as a person has the ability to pay it. Al-mumatala, the ulama say, and it comes in narrations. The one who has the ability to pay debt, but they put it off. They delay it till later. That's not something that is permissible. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person passed away in his community, and they informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are going to have the janazah. We are going to have the funeral for this person. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to go following the funeral. وَخَطَأَ خُطْوَتَيْنِ. He took a few steps, then he paused. And he inquired, does this person have any debt? Did they leave behind debt? And they said, yes. The Messenger of Allah turned back and did not continue going to that janazah. That's very severe. That's very scary. And the Prophet said, صَلُّوا عَلَىٰ صَاحِبِكُمْ. You guys pray janazah on your neighbor, on this person that passed away. But the Prophet ﷺ did not want to participate. It comes in other narrations that in the beginning of the Sharia, the Prophet ﷺ used to inquire, did this person leave behind enough wealth in their inheritance to pay off the debt? And if they said yes, he would command that that be taken from their inheritance to pay off their debt, and then they would pray the janazah. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ would not attend. Later in his life, alayhi salatu wasalam, to give context to the topic, so we can be academically honest and transparent. Later in his life, when the Prophet ﷺ, as the head of state, had available to him more assets in Baytul Mal al-Muslimin, in the treasury of the Muslim community, the Prophet ﷺ made it a communal responsibility and took it upon himself to pay off the debts of those who died, leaving behind debt, and they did not have any wealth to pay off those debts. But this shows you that the Prophet ﷺ took the matter very seriously and taught and trained the Sahaba to take the matter seriously. To settle these debts before a person dies, and none of us know when our date of expiration will be. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ كَانَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَخِيهِ مَظْلَمًا. Anybody who has any unsettled record between him and his brethren, then settle it today before the day of judgment comes, when there will be لَا دِنَارَ وَلَا dirham. There won't be any currency, money, monetary currency to settle debts in the akhirah. How will debts be settled in the hereafter? With hasanat and sayyiat. The Prophet ﷺ said that a person will come on the day of judgment and they have all of these good deeds. وَضَرَبَ هَذَا وَشَتَمَ هَذَا وَأَخَذَ مَالَ هَذَا فَيُؤْخَذُ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, when a person comes on the day of judgment with all their record of good deeds, but they have unsettled records, they have oppressions, they have people that they abused and didn't settle that record. And amongst the abuse, the ulama said, is intentionally negligence. Out of negligence, not paying off debt, they said, هَذَا نَوْعٌ مِنَ الظُّلْمِ. This is a type of oppression. Because the person that loaned you that money may also be in need of it as well. So the Prophet ﷺ is teaching and training the community and the Sahaba not to take the matter lightly in his own actions. Now, is it permissible in Islam for a person to take a loan if they need to? And the ulama said, yes, absolutely. So long as it is an ethical and permissible type of loan, and so long as what they are using it for is something permissible. You can't take a loan to do something haram. That's not permissible. That's double trouble. But the ulama said a person should only go to that means in dire circumstances. Yes, it's permissible. And here is a message to all of those that might be in debt or might be considering going into debt. That the ulama said, if a person reaches such a need and the matter is so, there's so much constriction in their affairs that they need to take a loan, the ulama said they must have a sincere intention to repay that loan as soon as feasibly and physically possible. And if there is that sincere intention to do so, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them. And this comes in a hadith. يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ Allah will make it easy for them to pay off that debt. But the one who takes a loan and does not take the matter seriously and postpones and delays and ignores, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَتْلَفَهُ اللَّهُ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then that person is at risk of being destroyed by Allah. Because they destroyed the wealth of someone else. They took advantage of it. And so the message is very clear and very straightforward. And subhanAllah, I was amazed. There are certain individuals in our society, in American society at large, that have become so popular and so famous because they focus in their financial advising on getting out of debt. Millions and millions of subscribers and followers on TV channels and radio channels for specific individuals. And I found some of them to be very devout in their religious practices. And that's respectful. That's respectful. We also have those teachings in our deen as well, to not take the matter seriously. As for those who are not in debt, good for you. Keep in that situation. But you may be asked by someone to offer them a loan. So here is a message for those that are loaning to others. You know, in the financial system that we live in right now, loans and debts are considered part of means of gaining profit. It's a way for people to make money. But in the Sharia of Islam, we find the discussion of loans coming under the chapter of sadaqah and charity. We have something in our deen that is not practiced so much. It's called al-qardu al-hasan. Al-qardu al-hasan. Which is a type of loan, but it is not a loan that you profit from monetarily. But it's a loan that is meant as a form of sadaqah. And it's a very high form of sadaqah. Where there is flexibility in terms of the repayment of that qard hasan. It's a beautiful loan. And that's something that is not practiced as much. So those that are giving loans to others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَإِن كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ We heard that a few nights ago in Taraweeh as well in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَإِن كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ Allah calls upon those that have given loans to others, that if you find the debtors in a very difficult situation, then be flexible with them. And increase the payment date for them to repay that loan. Also, of the highest forms of sadaqah is to pay off someone's debt for them. The Prophet ﷺ said, and we've come full circle, we begin our discussion by talking about how the Sharia encourages us to help one another and cooperate with one another. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever takes away a burden for a believer in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve for him a burden from the burdens of the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve us from the burdens of the hereafter. And in conclusion, the Prophet ﷺ taught us all, whether we are in debt to others or we are loaning to others, regardless of the situation. The Prophet ﷺ used to love certain du'as amongst them. Allahumma aghnini. بحلالك عن حرامك اللهم أكفني بحلالك عن حرامك وأغنني بفضلك عمن سواك Oh Allah, make sufficient for me that which you have made halal so that I will never be in need of that which is haram. And Oh Allah, enrich me and grant me wealth from your bounty and your grace so that I will never be in need of anyone else. The scholar Ibn al-Qayyim taught us to control our hearts. A lot of times we go out seeking loans from others because there is a lack of stability in our hearts, or there is a lack of responsibility in our financial habits. The scholar Ibn al-Qayyim said, إِنَّ قَلْبَ مَنِ الْتَفَتَّ إِلَيْهِ بِيَدِ مَنْ أَعْرَضْتَ عَنْهِ The heart for the one that you are yearning towards, asking for some help, know that their heart is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their wealth and their bank account is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. train ourselves to get in the habit of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before asking from anyone else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enrich us from His bounties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve those amongst us that are in debt. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the wisdom and the strength to make the most financially responsible decisions and choices. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده اللهم صل وسلم وأنعم وأكرم وزد وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We have been sharing some narrations and discussing the importance and the gravity and the seriousness of the issue of debt in our deen and our sharia. And it is a priority for the Muslim to live a life free of debt. And if they happen to be in a situation of debt, that they exhaust all means and all resources and use as much energy as possible to get out of that situation as soon as possible before leaving this dunya. A few announcements before we end today. The Minaret Academy Saturday School has a summer camp from the 24th of June to the 1st of August, and that's Mondays and Thursdays, so please check the flyers outside for information about that. There is a Hajj program that we have been announcing, which is led by Sheikh Mustafa Umar, and it is at a lower price point than many of the other packages, so please take advantage of that opportunity. And lastly, the IOC Social Committee has organized a special event for our children ages 7 to 9 years old, and that is every Friday and Saturday during the month of Ramadan, that they have their own program after Salatul Isha. They will pray Isha and some of Taraweeh, and then they will have their own educational and inspirational program for that age group specifically. So please take advantage of these and all other programs offered by your masjid for your benefit and spread the word about them. We may be wondering what the relationship of this topic is to the month of Ramadan specifically, and there are many points of relationship, one of which is we have heard before and we are in need of hearing time and again that sadaqah during the month of Ramadan is highly encouraged, and the Prophet ﷺ was even more generous during the month of Ramadan than he was the rest of the year, and he was by nature a very generous person. So as we mentioned, one of the forms and virtuous forms of sadaqah and charity is to relieve for a fellow, a brother or sister, the burden of debt. Consider that as a form of your sadaqah in this month. To not only give a financial charitable contribution, but also to ease the burden and the pressure upon your fellow Muslim in hopes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you highly for that on the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anyone in our community that is burdened with debt to relieve them of this burden. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us barakah in our wealth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from being stingy and miserly. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us with generosity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the wisdom to be careful with our choices. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from some of the bad habits and social vices of the environment that we are living in. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us in this month and to forgive our parents. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant cure to all of those that are ill and to have mercy upon those that have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to remember Him and to be grateful to Him and to worship Him in the best of ways. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. I forgot to mention that after the salah there will be an important announcement, an update for the community, so please stick around after the salah to hear that. Jazakumullah khairan. Aqimi salah.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.